started a short three-week series called Resolution. And what we're doing is each week we're looking at a resolution we could make to make 2019 our best year ever. And last week we started to look at the idea that all of us, all of our lives are a story, and that all of our lives are part of a bigger story, a grand story, an overarching story, a story that explains all other stories. And there are six chapters to this story, and last week we looked at the first four chapters. We saw in chapter one that God created, and after God created, he said everything was very good. And then in chapter two, we saw that things fell apart. And at the end of chapter two, we talked about how humanity craves to go back to chapter one when things were very good. In chapter three, we saw that God initiated his redemptive, restorative concept, if you will, by making a covenant with Abraham and then making a covenant at Mount Sinai with all the Israelites, where they were going to be a nation that would lead other nations to follow God. And then we got into chapter 4, and we saw in chapter 4 how this young Jewish boy came on the scene named Jesus, and how Jesus hung on a cross and died, and in that moment, all the sin of the world was placed upon him. And he came proclaiming that the kingdom of God was near. And we left last week looking at the idea that when we come to the cross, the cross is a doorway into the kingdom. And when we come into the kingdom, Jesus is king, not us. And so our resolution last week was, I am entering 2019 as a surrendered follower of King Jesus. Today I want us to look at chapter 5 of this story. And chapter 5 is a very important chapter of this story because it's the chapter that all of us are living in. It's the in-between chapter, if you will. If you've been at Sanage any length of time, you've heard me talk about the fact God had his D-Day. That was the cross and the resurrection. When Jesus won over evil and sin and death. And one day, the totality of that victory is going to be realized when we have Victory Day, when there's a new heaven and there's a new earth. But between God's D-Day and God's Victory Day is this in-between time. That's chapter 5. And we live in this in-between time. And this in-between time is a time of mission. Since the whole world has fallen, the whole world needs to be redeemed. Every last person, place, and organization. And so God created a community of people called the church. And the church was created to be a movement of people on a redemptive, restorative mission with God. A movement of people who would push back the darkness and shine the light of God's love and grace into all places, even into the very darkest of places. It would be a movement of people who would go into the world by the power of the Holy Spirit and bring good news to the poor and healing to the brokenhearted and liberty to the captives and redemption to the lost, sight to the blinded, freedom to the oppressed. A movement of people who would positively impact the cities of this world. Proverbs 11:10 says this, when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. Proverbs 11 is a collage of contrasts. If you were to read Proverbs 11, you would see that the Proverbs in that chapter contrast which is approved by God and that which is abhorrent to God. It contrasts honesty and dishonesty, humility and pride, integrity versus slander, and on and on. And then you come to verse 10, the verse I just read. Let me read it to you again. When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. When the wicked perished, there are shouts of joy. The text tells us that there's a particular group of people in the city who are prospering, and as they prosper, the city rejoices. Now, that seems strange to us, given our human nature. Usually, when one group of people prosper, other groups respond negatively. But here in this case, there's a group of people prospering, and it's causing the city to rejoice. The word rejoice that is used here is only used one other place in all of the Old Testament. And the word describes the joy people express when they're freed from oppression. It's sort of like at the end of World War II, when Victory Day was realized, people were in the streets, they were rejoicing, they were celebrating, they'd been set free. And here, people in the city saw a certain group of people prospering, and they rejoiced. They went in the streets and they celebrated. Why? It must be because this group was using and sharing what they had for the common good. This group was viewing their prosperity not as a means of self-enrichment, but as a vehicle to bless others in the city. And so as this group prospered, as they got more and more money and influence and power, rather than using it themselves, they used it to bring about positive transformation in the city. And the city rejoiced. And you notice who this group was? It's the righteous. Pastor Tim Keller writes this: "The righteous in the book of Proverbs are by definition those who are willing to disadvantage themselves for the community." If we think about it, that definition makes this verse make sense. The righteous were followers of God who were willing to disadvantage themselves for the sake of the city and the people in it. They were followers of God who viewed their prosperity as a gift from God and used it as a vehicle to bless others. That they used their money and their skills and their influence and their time, not just for their own good, but for the common good. Meanwhile, the wicked are those who put their own economic and personal needs ahead of the needs of the community. And do you notice in the verse? The city shouted for joy when the wicked perished. But also notice, when the righteous prospered, when these followers of God prospered, the city rejoiced and celebrated. As Christ followers, we're called to be the righteous. We're called to be the righteous. People who are willing to disadvantage themselves for the sake of others. People who view their prosperity as a gift from God and use it as a vehicle to bless others. People who use their money and their influence and their skills and their times, not just for their own good, but for the common good. The question is, how can we live like that? How can we live in a way that causes the city to rejoice? What kind of lives do we need to live? He's shown you, oh man, what is good. And what does God require of you? Notice the three things. We know this well: to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. The word man there in the Hebrew is a general term for person, and the word require there means expect us to do. So let me read Micah 6:8 again. He has shown you, O person, what is good, and what does the Lord expect you to do? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. As we enter 2019, God wants us to walk humbly with Him. The word walk implies a journey. If you fail to see your spiritual life as a journey with Jesus, your spiritual life will stagnate. If you fail to see your spiritual life with Jesus as a journey, your spiritual life will stagnate. God calls us, Jesus calls us to follow Him. The word follow there is journey language. And the journey starts, as we saw last week, when you put your trust in Jesus, when you repent and you make Him king of your life, when you put your trust in Him, when you say, Jesus is Lord. You start your journey. And then you continue your journey for the rest of your life. And it's a journey of next steps, one step at a time. And your next step may be very different from someone else's next step. But the Christian life is a journey of growth and discovery. And all of us are called by Jesus as we walk with him to take our next steps. My next step right now is to spend more and more time in stillness and solitude with Jesus. That's what I think God's calling me to do as my next step on my journey with him, to spend more time in quiet and solitude with him. What is it for you? As Lindsay talked about, all of us are going to take a next step together starting January 27th. We're going to do a series called Teach Us to Pray, and we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to do that over 7 weeks. And for six of those weeks, we're going to have the whole church journeying together. Kids ministry, youth ministry, young adults ministry, our current small groups. We're starting some more small groups. And we're going to go through the Lord's Prayer together. Everything in this church is going to be aimed at that one thing for 6 weeks, looking at the Lord's Prayer. And what we're hoping is two things. Number one, at the end of it, all of us will understand God better. Number two, all of us will understand prayer better. And actually, there's a third thing. I'm hoping some families will have amazing spiritual discussions as all of us are on the same page together. And so I want to really encourage you to become part of that, get involved with it, sign up for a small group that's going to be going on during that time, get involved, and let's learn together around prayer. Maybe your next step is getting baptized. We got a baptism service next Sunday. Talk to Lindsay after the service today. We're all called to take our next step. But you notice something. We're not just to walk with Jesus. You notice this? We're to walk humbly with Jesus. The biggest barrier to walking with God is your pride. The biggest barrier to walking with God is your pride. That's why God calls us to a posture of humility and surrender before him. Folks, if you want to walk with Jesus in 2019 and you want to walk humbly with him, you need to daily surrender to him. When you get up in the morning, surrender to Jesus. Say, God, this is your day. I want to walk humbly with you. I want to be empowered by your Spirit today. Surrender to him daily. So let me ask you this morning, what is your next step in your journey of walking humbly with Jesus? What is your next step in your journey of walking humbly with Jesus? When are you going to take that next step? And you may be here this morning and say, I don't know what my next step is. So I got a question for you. How are you going to find out? How are you going to find out what your next step is? All of us are called in 2019 to walk humbly with our God. He has shown you, O person, what is good. And what does the Lord require you? To act justly and to love mercy. Not only are we to walk humbly, we're to love mercy. And mercy is love that seeks to express itself in action. We're talking here about showing compassion and kindness to someone. We're talking here about meeting the needs of other person. There's a great story in the Bible. Most of us know it. Luke chapter 10. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. It's a great example of showing mercy to someone. You may remember the story. A man is traveling along a road, and he's robbed, and he's beaten, and he's left naked and lying near death on the side of the road. And two religious guys come along, and they notice him, and they pass by on the other side of the road. And then a Samaritan, the most unlikely of people to help this person, comes along and stops. And he goes over to the man and he bandages him and he puts the man on his donkey and he takes the man to an inn and then he pays the innkeeper to take care of the man. He met the man's needs. He showed mercy. He disadvantaged himself for the sake of the other. And remember how Jesus ended the parable? He said in Luke 10:37, go and do likewise. Serving and blessing others are to be normal activities for people who follow Jesus. In other words, compassionately serving and blessing others should be a normal part of our daily lives. And do you notice something? we can miss this. It's not just about showing mercy. What does it say? You're to love showing mercy. Love mercy. We're to love showing mercy, which means we're to make showing kindness something that we love doing. Let me ask you a tough question this morning. Here it is. Are you ready? Do you need to shift from a consuming lifestyle to a loving mercy lifestyle? Do you need to shift from a consuming lifestyle to a loving mercy lifestyle? Are you more like the Samaritan who will disadvantage himself for someone in need? Or are you more like the religious guys that pass by on the other side of the road? You see, we've been blessed not so we can consume more and more, but so that we can show greater and greater amounts of compassion. I like Deuteronomy 15. It's not coming up on the screen, so just listen to these words. Deuteronomy 15, starting in verse 7, says this. If anyone is poor among your people, if any of the towns of the land that the Lord your God has given you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything that you put your hand to. As we enter 2019 together, are you willing to be open-handed? Are you willing to say, God, I'm open-handed? Yeah, I'm going to live open-handed this year. Imagine if all of us said in 2019 that we're willing to live open-handed and to disadvantage ourselves in order to show mercy to others. Imagine if we viewed our prosperity as a vehicle for showing mercy to others. Imagine if we used our money and our influence and our skill and our time to go and do likewise. That would cause the city to rejoice, wouldn't it? It would certainly cause people in the city to start speaking differently about Jesus and his church. And do you know that that's already starting to happen? Because of how so many of you have put serving towels over your arm time and time again, people in this city are speaking differently about Jesus and his church. There's people at Saanich Parks Department that today are speaking differently about Jesus and his church because every year people from this church go out to Saanich Parks and clean them up. And we know people there. And they're speaking differently today about Jesus and his church because we've gone and we've shown love to the city by cleaning the parks, sharing in the common good. I was speaking to the director of the One Up Single Parent Resource Center. They are blown away by the love that this church has shown the single parents that they deal with. Through our car care, through our Christmas edition where we gave out gifts to our summer camp, the people at One Up are speaking differently about Jesus and his church because this church has said, we want to partner with you to make a difference in the lives of single parents. Through Adopt Our Block, through Christina going next door to Churchill Estates, people in there are becoming interested in Jesus and speaking differently about Jesus because of the love she's poured out on those children. The Living Edge out at CPC. People today are starting to speak differently about Jesus and his church because of the ministry of Living Edge. And as Tom and Lillian just shared about Mexico, you know one of the greatest tools for sharing about what God is doing is for you to go out and share with your friends what God is doing through the ministry of MSQ in Mexico. My wife has done that in where she works, and people today are speaking differently about Jesus and his church because of what we're doing in Mexico. When we love mercy, we not only bless people, we invite people to see Jesus differently. And all this and more is causing some of the people in our city to speak differently about Jesus. Now, this is really important. We got to make sure that we keep our attitude collectively as a church in check. What we do, all of that and more that we're doing beyond these walls, we don't do it for our own glory. We don't do it for the glory of Saanich Baptist Church. It's all about God and His glory. It's all about the common good. It's all about blessing others. It's all about being on a redemptive, restorative mission with Jesus. It's about unselfishly sharing God's love and grace with them in word and deed. Let me ask you this morning, what is your next step when it comes to loving mercy? What is your next step when it comes to loving mercy? Where is God calling you to love mercy in your life? What is your next step there? When are you going to take it? When are you going to take it? Back to Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O person, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. We act justly when we stand up and we act on what is right, when we deal with injustice. And the reason we're called to act justly is because justice is a key expression of God's heart. The Bible is clear. God is passionate about how the poor and the oppressed and the marginalized are treated. And that's why God calls His people to act justly. Proverbs 31, verse 8, speak up for the people who have no voice, for the rights of all the down and outers. Speak out for the justice. Stand up for the poor and the destitute. Proverbs 29:7 says, the righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. The Hebrew verb translated care about here is very intense. The righteous have an intense, deep, gut-level passion about justice for the poor. It energizes them. It causes them to act. We are called by God to be people who stand up for and care for the poor and the oppressed. In fact, a decisive mark of those who follow Jesus is that they pursue justice for the poor and the oppressed. The Roman Emperor Julian was one of the fiercest second century persecutors of Christians. On one occasion, he admitted in absolute disgust that he couldn't stop the church from growing no matter what he did, no matter how many Christians he executed, no matter how many Christians he killed. And it says this. He said, and here's the reason why. He says, because these infernal Galileans feed our poor in addition to their own. Wouldn't that be great to be said of the Church of Victoria? That all the atheists in Victoria would say, we don't know what to do. The Church of Victoria takes care of the poor and we just can't stop it from growing because of what they're doing. Imagine if all of us said, we were willing to disadvantage ourselves in order to act justly for the sake of others. Imagine if we went out this week and acted justly in our workplaces, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, on our sports teams. Listen, you may not be able to change the world, but by loving mercy and acting justly, you can change someone's world. You may not be able to change the world, but by loving mercy and acting justly, you can change someone's world. So let me ask you, what is your next step in acting justly for the poor and the oppressed? What is your next step? What's God calling you to do? When are you going to take it? And you may say, I don't know what my next step is for acting justly. If you don't know, how are you going to find out? Because God wants every one of us in some way or another to be acting justly for the poor and the oppressed. Collectively, our next step in this area is to launch the Victoria Dream Center. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks. When we're done Teach Us to Pray series, you're going to hear a lot more about that. But that's our collective next step. But what's your next step? Let me close out this morning this way. Let me ask you, are you tired of ho-hum Christianity? Do you find Christianity boring and stale and irrelevant? I had someone not too long ago say to me, you know, I'm bored with church. Are you bored? You know why people say that? You know why people, some of you do look like that in church, by the way. But you know why people say that? You know why? Because North American Christianity is too much about us. North American Christianity is too consumer-focused. It's too much about us. Do you notice in Micah 6:8? Do you notice those three things? Walk humbly with God, love mercy, act justly. You notice only one of them actually reflects to you directly, and that's to walk humbly. Love mercy and act justly. Those are focused on other people, on you doing for others. Do you really want to come alive in 2019? Do you want to write a great story with your life? Do you really want to experience the activity and the presence of God in your life like never before? Do you want to be part of a movement that's seeing a city rejoicing? Then make the decision that in 2019, you're going to be a Christ follower who is willing to disadvantage him or herself for the sake of others. Make the decision in 2019 that you're going to daily ask the Holy Spirit to empower you to live 6:8. Imagine what can happen if each of us made those decisions. Imagine how many lives would be impacted, how many families, how many neighborhoods would be transformed in the name of Jesus. Do you know there are about 1,000 people that actively call Sanage their church? And if you think about that just for a minute, say, and probably most of us know a lot of unchurched people, but I want you just to think of three unchurched people that you know. People who don't go to church that you know. It can be anyone you work with, go to school with, neighbors, whatever. Three, imagine this week if you went out and you acted justly or loved mercy for those three people in some way. Do you realize in this city in a week, if that happened, there would be 3,000 acts of justice or loving mercy? Can you imagine if that happened week after week after week after week? Imagine what would happen if we made those decisions. Imagine all the people that would start speaking differently about Jesus. Imagine the people that would start their journey with Jesus. Imagine hearing the city rejoicing. Dream with me. Let's be part of a great move of God that sees lives transformed, that sees people healed, that sees communities changed. A move of God where we see 100 people baptized, 1,000 lives transformed, 10,000 lives impacted. Dream with me. It's possible. Here's resolution number 2. I'm going to live 6:8 in 2019. I'm going to live 6:8 in 2019. I'm going to think about what my next steps are as I go through 2019 when it comes to walking humbly, loving mercy, and acting justly. Will you make that commitment? Will you make that resolution that I'm going to live 6:8 in 2019? I'm going to take my next steps. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for this verse that's really grabbed our church and grabbed hold of our church. God, I pray for all of us that first of all, we live surrendered lives before King Jesus. And in that surrender, we would be willing to live 6:8 lives every day. Father, this year, may we walk humbly with you. May we love mercy. May we act justly. May we continually take our next steps in those areas as you empower us, as you lead us, as you speak to us. God, I pray that as we do that, we will hear a city rejoice. In Jesus' name, amen.